Praise you, Lord, in the precious name of our Lord and Savior this morning. It's good to be gathered together. So we can go through Sunday school across the benches. They weren't as full as the times. And then the youth class came. It makes me feel about courage to see that. The youth is the church. You can see the church house. I would like to invite you all to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I was blessed by some songs that we sang stood out to me. And I'm sure it was very meditating. Found just to praise God for being you. So countless. This will be said in training without faith is not that I trialed out of faith. We get to praise God, but we get wrapped up here with slides. And then obedience is a way of displaying our belief. We should be thought about exactly that way. It's one thought that's about beautiful. And my question was how might we express our life? How might our lives express some of the just thought we can do that? So living out saying what Jesus taught us in the life that expressed the honor. For the message this morning, we're going to be focusing the theme of the message on chapter 13 and 1 Corinthians. As you know, the familiar passage, so the love chapter. God is a God of love. We could view this subject of love as being an attribute of God. One way we can view this, that's very true, very important aspect of God is God is a God of love. And we could also view the other spectrum of love as the way that the world views it. And in the world's eyes, love is often thought of as something that is something we express to gratify our own desires. But the love that we're talking about, this charity, in chapter 13, is a different kind of love. I'd like to just go through this chapter and just really stop and consider the aspects of the love of God and the aspect of love and spoke about 1 Corinthians 13. To start out, I'm going to just read, kind of summarize it. We're skimming through chapter 12. He's talking about spiritual gifting in the church. In verse 4, he says there's diversities of gifts, there's different gifts, but they're the same, but the same spirit behind them. There's differences of administrations, the same Lord. And there are diversities or different operations, a different way of doing things, but it's the same God which worketh all. And this is talking about the church body. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, and another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But all these work at that one and the set of the same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. God gives in the church, God gives in the body of believers different gifts, different abilities, different perspectives. said in verse 13, but by one spirit, we all baptized one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made, all made to drink the one spirit. Up to this point, the Old Testament, God's people were the children of Israel, were a special people to God. I believe they still are. But with the New Testament, there was a combining of the Jews and the Gentiles, of the bond and the free, of those who were slaves and those who were servants and those who were masters. And the spirit behind all this unites everyone into one body. Body is not one member anymore. And then he goes on to say, in the book, and say again, I'm not a body, it is not a or here says, because I'm not of the eye, I'm not of the body. Because I don't have this gift, I'm not part of the body. It is still tragic. Whole lot were an eye. Everyone was good. This whole body were an eye, where we could be hearing. People body were hearing, where we could be smelling, and so forth. And it says how God has put all these different gifts and all these different members into the body as an athlete, and if everyone was still one member, it wouldn't be a lot. So it's a combination, various gifts through the members of the body that make it all work together. You know, he says that, you know, one member can't say to another, I don't need you. The hand doesn't say, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, or the head to the feet, I don't need you. To need each other, every member of the body. Those members in verse 23 are of the body, which we think to be less honorable. We still, those who are more sensitive, we still more abundant honor, more sensitive. It's good to say how all the members are set in place to love to live. Now ye are the body of Christ. He goes on in verses 28 to the end of the chapter talking about the different gifts that God gives to the believers in the church. Every person in the church body is uniquely created for a reason. And everyone has different gifts, different talents, different strengths, there's different backgrounds, different perspectives, different viewpoints. Some are strong in one area, but weak in another, and others are strong in that area and weak in other areas. Different, you know, strengths and weaknesses. Some are good at singing, some are good at teaching, some are good at listening. But there is one gift that we can choose to receive and apply. One gift that has been given to every member in the body. And it's a gift that we can, every person can own, understand, apply to their life. It's a gift of love. The title of the message this morning is the phrase, the end of chapter 13. The greatest of these is charity. Charity is love. He was out there for it says exactly what the scripture says. And it's the type of love that is called agape love. It's a godly love. It's not like the love the world views of as satisfying your own fleshly desires. It's a love, but we'll look at it as we go through this chapter. See what kind of love this is. Greatest of these, the greatest of these gifts that God has given to the church, abilities that God has given to us, the greatest of them. Look at some of the reasons why that is love. We're just going to go through this chapter, bringing by praise. Well, I'll start at verses 1 to 3, and kind of breaking down starts with says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, have not charity, love, I am become a sounding brass or a beast. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, have not charity. And though I bestow, I give all my goods to feed the poor, or I give my body to be burned for the sake of Christ, I don't have charity. Starting in verse 4, I have 16 points that I'd like to look at. And some of them kind of reflect each other. There's no big amendments as they're given. That talk about charity. It's godly love. The first one, number one, charity suffered. One that I'd like to think of is love is patient. Now, I don't know how you would view yourself, subject, but I certainly don't see myself being someone who is strong. This is not love. It's not my love, but I just think of it. When I was before we moved to Tioga County, we had a med horse. I don't know if you brought it back or something, but some of the way Andy related to a horse. I like to go horseback when I was. But there were certain aspects of caring for a horse that required a lot of patience. And I think the animal world, I think a horse can realize pretty quickly that someone is not very patient. You can try that point, pressure that point. So a person loses their patience, loses their cool sometimes, but anyways, yeah, I was trying to leave this horse on time and forget if I was riding something. Well, it was neighbors to us. It's coming up with rain. Saw my sheep. They were just coming back from wherever they were. Their horse and the horse. My horse decided to make that pass that it's time to just turn around. Let's go the other way. And they friends with this other horse. I had in mind how that because we had a bit of a battle. It's hard to practice patience situation. So a horse tried my patience. It should be how she is. But love is patient. Love, one description of this that I came across is love actively waits for others without resentment. Actively waits for others without it. And this would include being patient in the face of being hurt or misunderstood or mistreated. How well are we being patient? Sure. Yeah. How well are we being patient? He said, a good example of this. He was there agonizing in the Garden of Gethsemane. He came back to his disciples, told them to watch and pray. Comes back to them. It was three times. He just kept falling asleep. And at the end, he said, so long ago, they did this. He didn't get in the He loved them and at one point, I think he said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He understood that their bodies needed rest. He expressed love, even though they don't listen to this hour of agony. I think also of parents. Do we love our children patiently, consistently, working? I think back in the day, when I was, excuse me, I was 12, 10, 12 years old. So. I was in a church setting where young boys would sit off separate aisle, dads were over to the other side. We would get a little rails on church service. It's just a team. There was some whatever whispering, sometimes even laughing going on. I'll admit I was part of it sometimes. And I was warned that I'm supposed to just be respectful and not go along with it. But I remember one Sunday morning, it's pretty rowdy. I don't remember what was going on that. I was in the middle of it. And suddenly I realized my dad was in a dragon aisle next to me. So, I had to get up. Service. That was good for me. And after the service, I don't remember much being said about it. I don't think much more needed to be said. But you know, just that patiently, consistently working on the Father. A loud, strong reprimand after the service probably wouldn't have gone as much as that. I'm just a challenge by that. Always train our children. Children always respond the way we want them to. Can we or are we? Loving our children is the best. The second point I have, again, in verse 4, carries up with love and peace. Love is constant. Kindness, we all know the peace of life. Holding the glory from the sun. Maybe helping someone pick up whatever they brought. Just being willing to help someone, be polite, courteous. But beyond mere politeness, kindness involves acting for the good of others, even when it doesn't benefit ourselves. I think that's a good description of love. Being willing to help someone else, even though we know full well we probably will never get the favor. Or maybe we know full well the person will not appreciate. Love is that's not just one day out of the it's the out of home. Another way love expresses itself, third point I know, in verse 4, charity and the other. Love does not hurt. Instead of being jealous, someone else is successful. Rejoice with them. Be glad for them. Give compliments for a job that's well done. Instead of being jealous, the attention of the person's on your desk. I think envy is probably a revenge that Satan uses more than some other reasons. He drives the weakness, church body. Apparently, love does not end. Fourth point, have still in verse 4, charity vaunteth not itself. That's not a common everyday language. But I'd like to simplify that by saying love is not boastful. Love is not boastful. Instead of trying to lift ourselves up, love is. We will try to point out or bring out. And oftentimes, those were cursed. Will not only brag about themselves, but will also be ready to put up. Trying to let themselves up by condemning others. Let's be careful. Love is not boasting. Point number five. The last one in verse 4 is not puffed up. Charity is not puffed up. Love is not proud. Again, closely related to number 4. But I would like to add, think of love as not being proud. A proud person does not accept criticism. And a proud person will not admit to mistakes or failures. Also, a proud person will not be ready to ask for trouble. On the other one here, love is not proud. Love accepts criticism, learns from it. Even if it's given in a hurtful way, learn from criticism. Help see yourself the way others see it, the way we truly get through it. Along with that, love will admit it's being seen. We'll be ready to reach out for help. When we come. Starting in verse 5, does not behave itself unseemly. I'd like to simplify that just by saying, love is not rude. Again, ties into some of the others we talked about already, but along with that, love practices the rule. Do to others what you would want them to do. Treat others the way you want to be treated. That's how love is not. Love is considered close to others. 7.6 is seek it not for marriage. Love does not demand. Times we have an idea or an agenda or how something should be done or how a situation should be given. Maybe others do things that get in the way of our agenda or way we would like to see it out. Maybe they change the way something's done. You know, it's pretty easy to get irritated people or come get angry with them like that. But love doesn't do that. Love doesn't guess. It's irritating. Instead, it is considered, accepts the idea of things that love does not demand to. Maybe point that out. It is not easily provoked. Again, very closely related to 7. Love is not easily provoked. When we're close to others, our family, church, it is bound to happen that someone can do something to you. It's going to happen. Question is, someone rubs us their own way. How quickly do we get to the victory? In 1 Peter 4:8, it says, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. That word sin that we should view as offenses. Love will cover our multitude of offenses. I guess probably the new record was that way. A bearing, a heel bearing, or maybe a bearing on the hull of a trailer. Division-wise, you have this cage with a bunch of needles in it, spin around inside the race. And as they're rolling around, there's friction. Metal against metal friction. And if it isn't for the grease or the oil or whatever it is in the application that is there to lubricate that friction, it would get hot, bearing would start to disintegrate. I like to think of love as the oil, the grease that produces friction. As we approach our family, church, whatever it is, whatever it's said, we rub shoulders with employers, employees, vendors, customers, whatever it is. There's things that happen that other things. How quickly can we get with it? Or do we allow the oil of love to reduce the friction? Giving one to number nine, number nine. Last one, verse 5. Love thinketh of evil. And I'd like to interpret that in another translation, I forget which one it was, described in this study. Love keeps no record of evil. I like to think of thinketh no evil as not keeping record of people. Can we have a journal of all the time when someone else has offended us? Maybe not literally. What about in our purpose? We can't keep that. Love keeps no record. Point number 10. Starting in verse 6. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth. Love does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoiceth whenever the truth wins out. Another way to interpret it. If we love someone, we won't let them live in sin because we know that sin will bring destruction to them. Love will warn others about this. Also help to try to talk them and overcome. Right. Love does not rejoice. Number 11. Beareth all things, verse 7. Love is never against us. Love naturally pleases. Think of the times. I didn't deserve love. Some didn't do love. And others around me didn't do love. Well, I never went to do anything. I might do anything. That was sure. Point number 12. Still in verse 6, believeth all things. I can interpret that as love never loses faith in God or in our fellow believers. Love never loses faith. Number 13. Hope and love is always hoping. These three are kind of tied together. I just want to bring them down. Never gives it up. Never loses faith. It's always always driving on. Number 14. Okay. Endure it all. Love endures every circumstance. Even when someone lashes out, no. Even when someone hurts you, love. Love endures. Tell your sisters. Think of many broken marriages all today. Things just don't go the way they think they should. There's circumstances that try their relationships. They just give it up. Break the party. You can do it. Marriage that lasts, marriage that endures, and that is the reason. That applies to everybody. Number 15. Charity never faileth. Love will last forever. When a person passes away, the thing that we probably remember the most about them is how it was. Whether it's a parent, whether it's a grandparent. Our memories of that person or how they loved us is what will last forever. Charity never fails. And not just that perspective, but even in our life. The love that it's talking about here in 1 Corinthians 13, the love that will last forever. Something that will practice. Charity never fails. The last point I'm now, 16. Love is the greatest. The greatest of these is charity. Love is the greatest. There's three things that's listed here that will last forever. It's faith, hope, and charity, or love. Individually, we can have faith in God. Individually, we can have hope of salvation and eternal life in Jesus Christ. But collectively, the church, the family, which is the church, which is the bride of Christ, would fall apart. Greatest of these is charity. Love is what holds families together. Love is what holds a marriage together. Love is what unites the church body. Greatest of these is charity. There's a few other points that I told of. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. There's a phrase in there that stood out to me. It says, Romans chapter 12, verse 9. It says, let love be without dissimulation. For that which is evil, cling to that which is good. Let love be without simulation. Simulation is not a word in rhetoric, it's a category, but I think it carries a thought of something that is not real or true. Let your love be without hypocrisy, it's a false. I guess my burden in this is don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. And don't just pretend. Really love others. I can study this chapter to the greatest of depth that you can imagine. I can learn all the aspects of God's love. I can understand all there is to know about loving others. But in the end, from my heart, let love be without sin. Another passage in 1 John chapter 4. I have written down 7 to 21. I think we'll hear the verses. 1 John 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, as is love. And this was manifest, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live in him. Herein is love. This is the essence of love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation. The love of God so loved us, we ought also love our neighbor. No man hath seen God at any time. Love one another, God loves us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, because he gave us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent his Son, the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in God. We have known and believed the love of God and the ability to have us. God is love. This is how our love is made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. And that's because so are we. There is no fear, but the perfect love gets better. Because fear is perfect. He that feareth is not made perfect. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God? This commandment that we believe that he who loveth God, loveth his brother. I guess what stood out to me in this passage is as we reflect on how God loved us, God loved us so much that while we were sinners and deserved to die, he made a way for our salvation and revealed God. So God loved us that much, followers. How much more us? Love is funny. Jumping back to chapter 3, verses 16 and 18. 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us. He laid down his life. Whoso hath his herald good, and seeth his brother have need, and shows up his mouth with confidence, how dwelleth the love of God? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Love involves sacrifice. It involves action. It's not just something we say. It's not just an expression on our face, but it's something that we act. Let us love. It's pulling the pump. It's in closing, I just would like to acknowledge that conviction. He's been talking to his disciples, trying to prepare them for the day that his comes to meet. Said in verse 33, little children, yet for a while I am with you. He shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whether I be able to go up, so then will I see. A new commandment I give unto you. Love one. I love God, but he also loved me. And he says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if I love one another. Our love for each other and each relationship is our message. In the world, estimated that there are over 7,000 languages. But there is one language that is understood by every person on this earth. That is the language. We're blessed by that one song saying, how I praise, precious Savior, that thy love may hold of that. And then in the chorus, channel Daniel, we're just channels, blessed man. But with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day, every hour. I think we underestimate our testimony. Show that we express his love to each other. Greatest charity, let's see. It's